Let us open our meeting this morning, brethren and sisters, with hymn number 173. Hymn 173. Everlasting, changing never, of one strength, no more, no less. God, almightiness forever, all the same thy holiness. The eternal, all things, all dost thou possess. Hymn 173. Before we invite Brother David to exhort us, let us sing together hymn number 5. Hymn number 5. Blessed are they that undefiled and straight are in thy way, who in the Lord's most holy law do walk and do not stray. Hymn number 5. It's now with pleasure that we ask Brother David to exhort us from God's word.
Good morning to you all. Do you know anybody who is seven? Or can you remember what it was like when you were seven? That's how old Joash was when Jehoiada the priest organized the crowning of him king and disposed of Athaliah, that wicked woman. I'm afraid we've got a number of wicked women to talk about this morning. Sorry about that, but there's some wicked men as well, and some good ones, so we'll look out for those. Well, Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest, which is quite a good start, isn't it? But actually, we're not starting with Joash, we're starting with his great-grandfather, Jehoshaphat. So would you be so good as to turn to the 2nd of Chronicles and chapter 20. Now, Jehoshaphat, Joash's great-grandfather, gets quite a good write-up in God's word. Verse 31, Jehoshaphat was king over Judah, 35 years old when he became king, reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. He walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. However, what he did do, which was less commendable perhaps, was to make an alliance with Ahab, king of Israel, and with Ahab's son, Ahaziah. And if you go back to 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, you read that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. And you see that the women are starting to come in even there. By marriage he allied himself with Ahab. And then back to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 35. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. That was Ahab's son, who acted very wickedly. And you notice one of the things they wanted to do was to make merchant ships to go from Ezion-Geber. They didn't go in this particular instance. This alliance made a lot of sense politically and in terms of economics, but it was very questionable in moral and spiritual terms and fraught with danger in that respect. If you would like to listen while I read you some words from the first book of Kings, we all know about Ahab, but just listen to this. It's in the first of Kings, and chapter 16. It came to pass, this is concerning Ahab, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. You see why I'm saying it wasn't such a good idea in moral and spiritual terms for Jehoshaphat to be teaming up with Ahab. Ahab wasn't very good to start with, really. But the scripture says that was all trivial compared with the worst thing he did, which was to take as a wife Jezebel, the Sidoni. She was a Phoenician, the daughter of the king of the Sidonians. And that was obviously a political move in a way, wasn't it? You know, I mean, it's always been the case. Kings have sought to make alliances through marriage, either of themselves or their children. Nothing different then. And if I read some more words to you, this time from the 21st chapter of the first book of Kings, concerning Ahab, there was no one like Ahab, no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. So she didn't do him a lot of good. As I say, he wasn't very good, perhaps, to start with. And Jezebel was not a good influence in terms of him doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Quite the reverse. And you will recall the story of Naboth, where she masterminded all that. And Ahab, who seems to have been a somewhat spineless character, really, was persuaded, influenced, cajoled, whatever word you want to use, by his wife to do all that wickedness. So you see Jezebel's character and influence just briefly there. Now Jehoshaphat, we are told, we've read it, made an alliance with Ahab by marriage. And what he did, in fact, was to marry his son, Jehoram, to Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. Another wicked woman coming up here. Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she certainly was her mother's daughter. There's no mistaking that in every sense. So let's see in the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 21, what we read about Jehoram. Now, this is Joash's grandfather, if I've got this right. Sounds a bit like one of those television programs, doesn't it, where they trace their ancestors back and try and find out what sort of people they are, seeing where they've come from. Right, 2nd of Chronicles 21, verse 4. Now, when Jehoram was established over the kingdom, this was after the death of Jehoshaphat, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. So he was starting as he went to carry on. So he starts, he kills all his brothers and all the princes. Verse 5, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So they were a sorry pair in terms of walking uprightly before God. Of course, his wife, she was a Phoenician as well. She was a Sidonian. She was a daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. So she was at least half Phoenician anyway. So that was Jehoram. You know what the Apostle Paul had to say about this? I'll read you the words from 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. He says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits." And you might say, well, Ahab and Jehoram didn't have many good habits to start with to be corrupted, but certainly their respective wives didn't help in that respect. Quite the reverse, quite the reverse. Jehoram was very much influenced by his wife, Athaliah. We're told that. But it's interesting to consider his end, the end of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. Now, this is pretty horrible, actually, but I'm going to read it because I think, you know, it tells it as it is. This is in the 2nd of Chronicles 21 and verse 18. And after various other unpleasant things that happened in respect of Jehoram, sons being killed by invading Arabians and so on. Verse 18, after all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. And then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of the sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. I told you it was horrible. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tomb of the kings. Well, there's a way to end. He wasn't sorely missed, as sometimes one reads in obituaries, and you know, when someone has died, he's sorely missed, not so Jehoram. Nobody regretted him going, and said he departed to no one's sorrow. I think if we felt that when we were no longer here, people were going to take the view, well, that's a good thing, we're better off without him or her, I think we'd be a little upset, wouldn't we, really? But that was the case with Jehoram. It's horrible end, but then his whole way of life was pretty horrible in God's eyes. And he came to a bad end. He was a bad man, unfortunately, married to an equally wicked woman. And it was all very sad. And you notice that he wasn't buried in the tomb of the kings, although he was buried in the city of David, but not in the tomb of the kings. And you might say, well, so what? Jehoiada, of whom we have read in the reading this morning, who was a priest, he was not a Levite, he was not of the royal house. We read that they buried him, Jehoiada, in the city of David among the kings. So it's quite interesting that we're specifically told that he was buried among the kings. Jehoram, a wicked king, although he was in the city of David, was not buried in the tomb of the kings. Neither was Joash, actually, as you will have noticed, perhaps, as we read through. We will revisit that in due course. So Jehoram's successor, 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 1. After Jehoram's rather horrible end, the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. He was the only one of Jehoram's sons who hadn't been killed by these invaders. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Do you see this pattern of influence, counseling, and advice? And so far, we've only seemed to have had it going quite the wrong direction. Athaliah was the granddaughter of Omri, because she was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, Ahaziah's mother. And what did she do? Bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? No way. What she did was to advise him to do wickedly. And then he carried on doing evil in the sight of the, like the house of Ahab, for they were all his relatives, and they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So that wasn't very good either, was it? And Athaliah's influence here was, like her mother's, wholly bad, wholly bad. Now, Ahaziah didn't last very long. We read that he only reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And he was dispatched by Jehu when Jehu was wreaking God's judgment on the house of Ahab. And Ahaziah, who of course was related to the house of Ahab anyway, was killed by Jehu, and that was the end of him. And then, of course, Athaliah, that wicked woman, as Scripture says, really came into her own as her mother's daughter. Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 22. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. So they're at it again here. Destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, sorry, I always have difficulty saying that name, Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Such goings on. But verse 11, we notice this woman, Jehoshabeath, who gathered up this little baby. He couldn't really have been anything much more than a year old, possibly even younger than that. You see the pictures of Prince George at his christening during the week? Just picture her gathering up quite a small child, really, and squirreling him away with his nurse. Now, who was this person who was saving this child from the murderous designs of Athaliah? Well, she was the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Yep, she was that. She was baby Joash's aunt. Because she was Jehoram's daughter and Ahaziah's sister. Let's read verse 11 again. Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. So if I've got the relationships right here, she was Athaliah's daughter-in-law. If I've got that right. She was the daughter of Jehoram and the sister of Ahaziah. I don't think I've got that right, actually, but we'll pass on. It's not too material. The point I'm trying to make is that this woman, Jehoshabeath, hadn't got very much going for her as far as background was concerned. If you think that she was Jehoram's daughter, Ahaziah's sister, what we know about that, and related to Athaliah in a way I haven't quite got straight in my mind, and yet, she is doing this good work, closely related to two of the wickedest men who ever sat on David's throne, and yet she is righteous and God-fearing and supportive of a righteous and God-fearing husband. It just goes to show, and surely it is extremely encouraging after all the evil influencing that we've been looking at, to see someone who was able to resist all of that and to be a really good and righteous and upright and God-fearing woman and to marry Jehoiada the priest. You would think that because she married Jehoiada, he married her, almost suggests that she was upright and God-fearing even before she married him. You might think, well, was it his influence that made her like that? But the fact they married at all suggests perhaps that she was already a worthy woman when he married her. Be that as it may, what it does show is that it's not what our family background is that matters, or who our relatives are, or what they're like. What matters is doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, irrespective. Now, this can take a lot of courage, and determination. Courage to be different, not follow the trend, not to give in to the influences. Resisting such evil influences. Not easy sometimes to do that. Requires courage and determination. But I would suggest that Jehoshabeath had that, and she became the wife of a God-fearing and upright husband from the tribe of Levi. Reminds me a little bit of Zacharias and Elizabeth in the New Testament. Because after all, Jehoshabeath would have been of the tribe of Judah, wouldn't she? She was a descendant of David, being the daughter of the king. Now Jehoiada, the priest, her husband, was undoubtedly a great character. We've seen in our reading today how he established Joash as king. He strengthened himself in the seventh year, we read, verse 1 of chapter 23. Strengthened himself, made a covenant with the captains and so on and so forth, brought the king out and had him crowned king on David's throne. And then Athaliah, we might say, met the fate she deserved, having been responsible for murdering goodness knows how many. She ended up being put to the sword herself on the instructions of Jehoiada. And so we come to chapter 24 and verse 1 again. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada oversaw his wives, and I think Jehoiada would have perhaps been very conscious of the importance of making a proper job of that when you think of the background that we've been considering so far this morning and the evil influence that various kings' wives had on them. I'm sure Jehoiada took wives for him who he thought, as best he could judge, would be helpful in influencing him in the right path. And we notice in verse 4 that after that, in due course, he set his heart on repairing the temple, which had got into a sorry state through what had been going on previously. Jehoiada and Jehoshabeath obviously brought up Joash in a God-fearing way. They were an excellent influence on him. Jehoshabeath was a sort of adoptive mother almost, and it's encouraging to note what her influence achieved, her good influence, along with the guidance and support of her husband. Particularly encouraging when one thinks of all the evil work that had been going on previously with various women like Jezebel and Athaliah and so on. Now, it would be nice if this story had a happy ending. But sadly, in a sense, it doesn't. Because Joash, unfortunately, didn't see it through to the end, in spite of all the good work that had been done on his behalf by Jehoiada and his wife. 2 Chronicles 24:17. Now, after his death, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and so on and so forth, and trespassed, and worst of all, Zechariah the son of Jehoiada was killed on the instructions of Joash. because he protested against what was going on. Verse 22, Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. So it's not a very happy ending, really. And we notice this question of influence again. The princes came and persuaded Joash. He listened to them and then went trespassing and doing evil and serving idols and so on. It seems to be a bit of characteristic among these kings of Judah. Certain sort of lack of backbone, lack of the ability to stick with something and not fall away and be persuaded to the wrong thing. You know, it started with Solomon, didn't it? He made a good start and then fell away. And various other kings, including Joash, made a good start but didn't see it through, which is rather sad. Which brings us to some of our lessons, really, out of all of this. Because that's what we want to do, is to see it through to the end, to stick at it, to cling on to it, and not to be persuaded to fall away like Joash did. But rather to see it through to the end, like Daniel, who we read about in our other reading, who saw it through right to the time of Cyrus, all through those years under the Babylonians. And of course, our Lord and Master, who we are told, saw it through to the end so that we might have our redemption and our salvation. So that's our first lesson. Stick with it. Don't fall away, whatever inducements or persuasion or influences is brought to bear. And then there's this question of influence and leading astray or leading in the right way. You know, concerning Jehoram, we read in 2 Chronicles 21, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. That's Jehoram, led Judah astray. We don't want to do anything like that, do we? Let's try very hard never to lead others astray, and nor to allow ourselves to be led astray or influenced down the wrong path by anyone, whether it's wives, husbands, family, friends, colleagues, whoever. So easy, because it needs courage and determination to say, no, I'm not following that path. Whatever you say, I'm not going that way. I'm not going there. Jehoshabeath managed to resist the evil influence that was all around her in her family and connections, and to marry a good man. So let's really be encouraged by that. And there is a reward in all of this. Remember Jehoiada, who was buried with the kings, we read. Now let's just look again why they did that. Verse 15, 2 Chronicles 24. Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward God's house. So because of that, he was buried among the kings, as opposed to Jehoram, who no one was sorry when he went, and they didn't bury him in the tomb of the kings. And interestingly, Joash, likewise, was not buried in the tomb of the kings. But Jehoiada was buried with the kings. Now, I know that, in a sense, it doesn't matter at all where our physical body goes when we die. What happens to it? It's not significant. But let's think spiritually about this for a moment. I think we would want our ultimate destination to be among the kings, wouldn't we? And with one king in particular, the Lord's anointed, David's greater son. I think that's where we would want to end up, among the kings. And you know what Jesus said to his disciples? I bestow on you a kingdom as my Father has bestowed on me. We've already been buried with Jesus in baptism. And Paul says if we're buried with him in the likeness of his death, so we've been buried with the king when we were baptized, our hope is to be with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ has loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. He will make us kings and priests unto God our Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Let us now sing together Anthem 3. Anthem 3. Thou hast loved us and hast washed us from our sins in thine own blood. Thou wilt make us kings and priests unto God our Father. To thee be the glory and dominion for ever. Anthem 3. Father Ron is going to conclude this morning with prayer after we have sung together hymn number 161. Hymn 161. Blessed are the eyes that see the living way to grasp the glorious prize of everlasting day. Hymn number 161.